Welcome to Hospitality 360. We have a special today, and it is just going to be amazing. It looks like we have two or three panel members still waiting. They're on the Star Jets in the metaverse right now. When they do get off, we'll let them in. But in the meantime, we have the iconic, the icon, the music leader, Stefan Schultz with us as well. Welcome, Stefan.
Hi. Thanks for having me, Ken. Great. Thank you for very nice here. Introduction. I'm very grateful. I'm honored. Thank you
for being here. I know it's 10 p.m. where you are, so obviously it's a pleasure and honor to have you on Hospitality 360 with this Babe special. So thank you. And then we have another icon, Brian J. Esposito, the founder, the do-it-all, the most interesting man in the world, right?
Tres Equis. Hey, Ken. How are you? Stefan, I feel like we talk every hour. It's like...
Yes, absolutely.
How are you? Get enough of it. 45 minutes ago.
That's true. Yeah. Takes a lot of time to make history, you know?
Oh, yeah, it does.
But it's great. It's worth every minute.
That only takes a second to ruin it, too. So good to know.
Can see in Europe right now.
Yeah. Thank you. Stephanie
Malik. So happy International Women's Day, Stephanie Malik.
Thank you.
You're the leader of them all. So thank you for being here. And you know, wish this is the day for you and the other great women of the world. So
thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you for being here. And then obviously we did this special because of what Babes has done and what they've done organically. And before I even go into that, we have Larry Namer.
Welcome, Larry.
Oh, Larry. Hi. Had a little bit of trouble with the links you guys sent out, but I finally made it.
Oh, we're going to let go of those people. Wait till this show's over. Yeah. We're going to get rid of them. You know, they don't know how to send these links. You know,
I felt very lonely in the waiting room by myself. Like, you know, I blame that one on Brian. So,
Brian.
Yay, Sarah made it.
Hey, oh, hey Sarah. So we have the travel and hospitality experts, Sarah Dandashi.
Amazing.
How are you, Sarah?
Good to see you again. Good to be back on your show. It's been a minute.
It's been exactly 1 year. So
yeah, just about exactly.
Yeah. So obviously, welcome back. You know, rebranding. You know, we've got Happy National Women's Day to you as well. So
this is a fun one. Yay, Stephanie and I representing. Woohoo!
So thank you, everyone, for being here. We wanted to do this Babe special due to, as I was saying before Larry and Sarah came in, Babes has done a phenomenal job. They've grown organically and we're going to go into all of that, what this project's about. We've put together pieces of article and where we are with Babes currently and what the Babes utility is even about. So I just want to kind of start off first, and I'm just going to go around the room here, and I'll start with Brian, but we do a question on hospitality. Every segment, we do a question for our panel members, and, you know, we're going to start off with this question, and the question is, why did you get involved with Babes? So, Brian, I'm going to start it off with you.
Such a great question. So, couple reasons, one of which... core group of people got together to describe, discuss, and announce what does this look like? What does an NFT project look like? How does it have great utility? And what are the people behind it? So during those discussions evolved the idea of Babes, these business apes, and what it could do for the NFT community. That was cool. But what was more important in my mind was, hey, Sabrina, was the timing. So many times where I didn't jump in on something because the market was salivating over something. Money was being poured into a certain institution or a certain industry. And I just sat back and watched. And seeing what was happening in this NFT space, all these giant firms, all these big industries, all these dollars going into it. And then I said, we have to go. So we made a decision as a core team. We have to go now. And then obviously these great people on this call and the show are some of the amazing business ambassadors that we have. So now how do we go fast but protect it? How do we go fast and instant credibility? And then how do we go fast and add value? So those are all the ingredients in my mind as to why I got involved and what we did and what we're doing.
Absolutely. Thank you, Brian. The icon, Stephanie Malik. What made you do it?
Brian made me do it.
That's true. That's very true, by the way.
Oh, that's true too. I hear you on that one.
I mean, I think, you know, again, I think to Brian's point, I think that we all of us, especially on this panel, get asked to do significant deals every single day. And we all have to be very protective of our time. We have to be protective of our time, of our resources, and just our mental fortitude of what we spend, you know, time developing. How viable is it? How sustainable is it? How long-term is it? I think really with this, Ken, I think it was such a no-brainer because of the community and because of the culture, because of the people that were pulled into it, because there was no ego whatsoever. Everybody just kind of jumped in and was like, you know, here's what I do know, here's what I don't know, here's what we're going to develop. And that was really refreshing to see, especially with all of these brilliant minds. I can't tell you how many times, and I know Brian will attest to it, how many times I reached out to one of the ambassadors or one of the founders 1, 2, 3 o'clock in the morning and asked a question that had been asked from maybe the people that I was trying to bring in to generate interest. And I just think it was really incredible the amount of fortitude and the amount of tenacity and grit, but also the amount of grace that every one of them had.
Absolutely. Thank you, Stephanie. Well, Sarah Dandishy.
Yes. Oh, gosh. Well, first of all, it's great to be here. I mean, really, I think what was the most exciting thing is certainly and kind of tapping into a little bit of what both Brian has said as well as Stephanie, but this aspect of, you know, it is something exciting and to kind of like maybe be on the forefront of something new and different. Mm-hmm. And it's this sort of somewhat uncharted territory. And, but then also seeing the breadth of individuals that are involved, that was so exhilarating to see. And it's like, there's something here and it's taking things a step further and adding that utility value to it. And it's, and again, it's like bringing in all of these, you know, fantastic minds. And I love what Stephanie just said, is that people just, this no ego. It's like, this is what I do know, this is what I don't know. And that people are very open and helping each other as we are navigating it, as, you know, everyone else that is part of the, you know, the organization as well too. We're all going through this together. So it's been eye-opening. It's super exciting. And, you know, again, we're learning a lot as we go along with it, but that's why I wanted to get involved. I wanted to learn on the fly. And of course, obviously, Brian asked me.
Connect her. I start with it. She finishes with it.
Awesome. Thank you, Sarah.
Yeah.
Mr. Namer.
Sure. I've been looking, you know, at the NFT and the crypto space for a while. And I get, you know, probably 2 or 3 calls a day with people who want me to join up with them. Most of them I've not found incredibly credible, and couldn't quite understand what they were doing other than trying to make a quick buck. So when Brian came to me with this, and I looked at the people involved and I looked at the way they planned on operating and stuff, I said, this is a great way for me to get involved with a group that I think certainly has experience and credibility. And, mm-hmm. you know, as I do projects all around the world still, you know, understanding this new world is very important to me, so to get my projects financed and profitable and sustainable, et cetera. So that's pretty much it.
Beautiful. Thank you, Mr. Namer. And I'll make sure I don't call you with the project. That means, you know. Mr. Schultz.
Yes. Yeah, so obviously, you know, Brian has been playing a pretty big role in putting us together. But I can tell you that I jumped right into it, not only because he, you know, he's such a beautiful person and understanding like all the how the things are connecting. But in my case, it's more like that. I have been going through three different transformational waves, more in the B2B2C area, coming from larger organizations, and I could see the same mechanisms, the same, you know, I can see the same game playing out again. And you know, looking at the market, you see it's very early stage. There's a lot of, you know, illegitimate behavior going on. There is, you know, investors being ripped off. There is, you know, people on the corporate side having problems on the entrepreneur side having issues. And I thought this is like the perfect, absolutely the perfect timing to jump in, and to you know, like to be part of a project that is. That is, you know, giving, like, let's say that, you know, kind of like putting everybody together and making this a safer place, a better, more predictable place, understanding how everything works so we can all learn together and we can give like some sort of a, you know, kind of an extra layer of security for people and allowing the space to really, you know, gradually, like an organically, the entire space organically and securely grow up as a real commercial, valid commercial field instead of just being like an opportunistic, you know, gold digger kind of area where everybody's losing, some are winning, you know. And this is why I was right in the middle of it. And I said, okay, I go with Brian for sure into this awesome project here.
Beautiful. Thank you very much for that. And I'm sure people want to know why I joined. Brian just called me one day and he's like, well, he's like, if you're not joining, that's it. We're not talking. So I was like, all right, where do we sign?
That's what you heard, but that's not what I said.
No. He said, Brian would never say that. No, he told me this was an amazing project and it is just going to be one of a kind. You know, I've been involved in this space for years. And when he told me the utility behind it, what is going to happen and how we were going to attract every industry, I was just game. I mean, I was just all in because it's a very different project, right? Like when we talk about NFTs, when we talk about all these things, it's usually one component. This didn't have just that one component. It was a lot of different components into this.
Yeah.
So thank you, Brian, for obviously including me with all these great ambassadors that we have. And fortunately, we don't have all of them, but do not worry because there is part two on Thursday. So Thursday, 4 p.m., part two.
One point, Ken, I think everybody on this panel, Ken, you've gone through the process of raising capital for hotels. I've gone through with all of my holdings, Stephanie with all of her clients. Sarah, I'll relate it to you maybe on doing your book and getting it published and having the funds for that to be out in the world. Larry for production, Stefan for surround. And in this market, what a great way to maybe find another channel or pipe to be able to raise capital quickly and keep your dreams and your visions and your ideas alive and go out and create them and bring a community with you. So it's killing two birds. I shouldn't say that's probably some PETA person watching. It's cuddling two birds with all the stones. And if you can create a product like we did with Babes, we created a community, we created an NFT, we created the capital to support future projects, and also a massive audience to promote it to. It's a perfect storm if you can hit it right. You can de-risk the entire whatever you're trying to do with your life. It's just got to hit it right and have realistic expectations.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I love it. I've said this, I think, from day one. I mean, you know that, Brian. And I said it, this was just going to be amazing. And as it kept building up, I think one day I called Brian. I'm like, look, we're at 40,000 on Discord. And then next day it was like 70,000. And I was like, how do we just get from 40 to 70,000 in one day? So I saw the buildup and, you know, the founders with Brian, Doug, Mo, Eric. I mean, just amazing, amazing job by all of them as well. So, you know, thank you. And the community is just amazing. So obviously all the support that we get from the community and the support they give to everybody So thank you for being there for base for every step of the way that we are. And there's a lot more to come. So that kind of takes me to the next subject. And before I go in there, I want to thank our sponsors and contractors, Closers Connections, and then Surf Request. You guys have been with us for now a year. So thank you very much. And we owe you a lot of gratitude for that. So I want to take into, we're going to do different segments, but the first one we're going to go into is Bates Music. And I kind of want to go into this a little bit even more. And this was one of the community members that came up with the song called Vibe with the Tribe. And this was because she ended up had the love for the project itself. And there was a global release of this on February 18th. She is a San Diego resident. She's a singer, songwriter, producer, and like I said, is a community member. This is what a lot of the community members, their involvement and what they're doing and how strong they believe into this project. But I'm going to go to Stefan first. And this is your area. This is your expertise. And I know you're going to have a lot to say about this, so just lay it on us.
Yeah, okay. So, yeah, basically, I think what is very important to understand is the fact that literally every IP by nature, by design, is non-fungible, you know? So it belongs to you. You normally, you know, you need to go somewhere with it. And, you know, it's been discussed at length how close the music industry is, how difficult it is to get in, how, you know, like the entry barriers are high, and, you know, in order to create your own path, with the lifetime of your copyrights and intellectual property is somewhat of very difficult. Now, in this case, you can already see, because of the community, because of this inclusion, because of the way that how we deal with these things, it was very, very easy, and it was super supported by everyone to bring, you know, Bella Albanese and her vision and what she's really thinking also about the project to get her to the marketplace in literally no time. I'm not even going into the Brian Esposito direction now to say that without him, but anyway, he was pushing hard. But I can tell you that this moment where you really normally in the music industry or like at a label, you would think like, oh yeah, well, is it good? Is it not good? This filter is gone. You just get everybody engaged. People like it. People love it. And boom. So there you have it, and she is on all platforms. You know, she was basically published on all major streaming platforms. So all of a sudden, you know, this was taking place in 48 hours. Now it's not us, it's not anybody's. Nobody should actually judge music back or forth or whatever. It's the same chance for everybody, and this is what I like about this, and it happens to be also an amazing song. So this is all a very, very good use case, just super quick to get some, you know, intellectual property to the market. In general, in my opinion, music and Bapes and entertainment and Bapes fits, you know, very, very well together, exactly for that reason, that this non-fungibility in itself creates a huge opportunity to the artist, because it will allow them to individually, you know, basically price individually, you know, determine their fate, which has never been possible. Because when I was at Universal, when I was at, working for bigger labels, then, you know, we were basically opportunistically dropping off like millions of contents for one price. And then you have like a $9.99 or $14.99, whatever Spotify price, and everybody shares, you know, everything gets shared. So artists automatically get diluted, right? So that means that, you know, the more content there is, the less is for each, individual basically, remains as a, let's say, as a, you know, economic value to live. So the whole NFT space is going to turn this fundamentally around, because you can attach individual values to every single form of IP And this is why I believe that this is going to be super, super powerful. And the BAPES project itself is going to be showing the way for the individual, for the individuals that really love to create and, you know, want to make a living with this, and really helps them to understand which is the right project, where, you know, where is the, where you have to be a little bit careful, you know, where do we have, from our experience, like Larry was saying, where is, you know, the probability of getting into like fraudulent environments, where is your value going to be like, you know, extracted or stolen, like in many of the NFT platforms right now, to really identify that and to guide and to support with the entire community to put your career into the right direction. I think this is the perfect match. You know, this project. It's still a little bit early stage, as I said, because it's very conceptual. Today, everybody is complaining about the big streaming platforms. Everybody's complaining about the economics. Some middlemen, some labels, some publishers, some whatever, you know, make a lot of money. So everybody is, there is still this notion of it's unfair and stuff like that. But we can constructively bring both sides together. And that's what I love about it.
Thank you, Stefan. Mr. Namer. Nope. Guess he didn't want to answer that one.
Hey, Larry, can you hear us?
Larry, can you hear us?
Uh-oh, might have lost it. Larry, can you hear us okay?
I think. We'll come back to him, Sarah.
Okay. No. Well, wait, where do you want me to pick up with the conversation? Because I know we just covered
We're talking about the BAPES music, and then what is your feel about the BAPES music and how is it interacting with the whole BAPES project?
Well, you know, anytime that you can, it just shows it's an extension of, you know, kind of like the direction as far as like where we're going and in a little bit more of a tangible way as well. You know, we're seeing obviously the communities come together and again, it just shows that there is this excitement out there, but it also shows it's kind of giving a glimpse as far as like what can be created just like in one sort of vertical of like industry. So it's definitely, it's exciting, I have to say. So, you know, it's more to come in regards to that.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, there's definitely more to come. Absolutely. Stephanie.
I mean, it just can just one thing to finish this. Sorry, that came to my mind when I was just talking about this. Is you know, in every transformational phase, which is happening right now, mm-hmm. you are, let's say, an artist, and all these business models and all these platforms are being thrown at you. So you look at, you know, some of them are endorsed by Snoop, some of them endorsed by Three Lao and others, right? You simply do not understand where to go, right? You don't, it's super difficult to comprehend, but yet it is a very, very meaningful part of your life because this is your profession and this is where you put your time and your skills in. So I think this is, I think, where you have this multitude of opportunities coming up in the metaverse to have like some sort of a tower where you can really, you know, that gives you the opportunity to understand what's going on and really support, let's say, the connection to the market. I think this is priceless for an individual that normally does not have individually the power to put any platform or anybody, you know, into a position of negotiation. It's rather the opposite, right? I think mm-hmm. this is kind of a very good thing for us. Sorry,
absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you. Appreciate that. That was a lot of information, but good information. So, Mr. Namer, you're back.
I had to reboot it or whatever.
Must have been the red. You know, I told you, you know, you should be wearing some blue or white today.
Yeah, probably.
So what do you feel about the music with the BAPES? And, you know, you're in the game. You're in the television industry. And, you know, music is alive. And what do you feel about BAPES getting music of this sort and the utility behind it?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, most people actually know me for my TV work, but I do have a pretty deep history in the music world. I actually have a music company that I started in Russia. We were the largest concert company in Russia for like 15 years. We still do a big thing called the White Nights Festival, which is the biggest music festival in Eastern Europe every year. But I've always really, you know, been involved in how technology fundamentally changes the game for creators of all types, whether it be music, TV, movies, does art, doesn't make a difference. And, you know, when I kind of liken this time, when I got into the game, there were three TV networks, and in order to buy a camera was $350,000 for one camera, and you needed five. So that pretty much excluded everybody from having a voice in media. And if you look at what technology has done, you know, particularly over the last 30 or 40 years, it's really provided voice to people who never had it. You know, smaller and smaller groups are beginning to have voice. So, you know, particularly the music area, if you've got what it takes and you got the wherewithal and, you know, not just the voice, but the ability to market and promote, I think this whole world of NFTs and crypto, again, provide an incredible opportunity for anybody with talent to be able to build an audience, reach an audience, and monetize an audience.
Yeah, I would tell you, I actually sent Snoop Dogg my piece to join him on the Super Bowl show, but he didn't say I had any aptitude to be in the music industry. So.
Just going in high there, Ken. Just going in high. Just the Super Bowl or not at all.
That's it. That's it. You know? Stephanie Malik, what you got?
You know, I think that Larry and Stefan covered it so well. I don't think that there's very much to add. I think the energy and I think the enablement, how fast things can happen. I think getting it out there and you know, to both of the gentlemen's point is getting it out there and getting it on all the platforms and making it accessible. I just think it's an incredible opportunity around music and again, to get it away from the labels and give it back to the artist, I think is incredible.
Absolutely. Thank you, Stephanie. Mr. Esposito.
Yeah, so much to say. Love everybody's thoughts on it. Well, the initial idea was we have to continue to always give the Bapes NFT holder value. And if anybody keeps track of music catalog sales and what's continues to happen there, a song can generate exceptional monetization. You have giant funds that love the yield that this music IP can bring. Stefan, we talk all the time, the point of surround, yeah, or one of the major points of surround is we strongly believe that music's still undervalued. And that's kind of crazy to say when you see, yeah, some of the numbers that are going back and forth. So, you know, initially it was, here's an amazing community member. I think an exceptional young artist who writes, produces, sings, taught herself how to do this. And, you know, where it got interesting for me, thanks to Stefan and his team to get this thing out quickly. But what I love about growing up, not being a little kid anymore, is I used to listen to people and I used to miss opportunities. So once I started showing people, we're going to take this song in the industry, I started showing people, we're going to take the song, we're going to give it to the community. They wanted me to hit the brakes on it. You need to go and get this produced by the best producers in the world. It's got to look X, Y, and Z. And old me would have probably been like, you're right, and missed it. So I said, we can't do that. That could be months. That could be years. I don't know. I have control over this thing right now. We want to give it to the community. We want to get it out there. And we want to have it be, you know, the anthem. That was the point of it, too. This movement that was happening at Bapes, we wanted to give it some music, some little bit of beat. Like if you're going into war, there was always a drummer in there getting those soldiers ready to go. So everything was perfect. And then I also started thinking, well, if we made this thing $1 million production, that doesn't give the average musician or singer any hope. That just deflates them even more. The nice thing was about this story was, here's a girl that did it all herself. She saved money. She worked hard. I helped guide her through her career. It means anybody can do it. I like that story. I don't want it to be, I don't want it to sound like a Taylor Swift, Justin Bieber production with the best of the best around. I'd love for her to grow into that. And I'd love for her music to connect with people and people to support her. But we did it in a way with anybody could do it. And now there's people, I'm going to pull up his name so I don't say it incorrectly, but Siddhant Mishra, who messaged me on Twitter a few days ago, wanted the stems to the song. We got it to him immediately. He stripped out her vocals and he did a remix, which sounds
it was amazing. Yeah.
Amazing, right?
Yes.
So that's you know, it's keep it in motion and keep, yeah, I don't know how to say this, but you're, you know, remixes sometimes are more popular than the original song, or the secondary productions of an original song sometimes is better than the first. We've seen this throughout many historical pieces. So, you know, long story long, it was, you know, it was amazing to do what we did in lightning fast speed, as Stefan said. And now this song, you know, maybe it's not this year, maybe it's 3 years from now, can be a very, very valuable song that these NFT holders now have access to. The earnings from the song go back to the community. They can have special privileges to Bella. Maybe if she goes on tour, they can be able to go backstage with her. Like there's real value there. And then we just keep doing that. But the idea of music is very important for community building. It's very important for connectivity. And I think we did a smart move. Time will tell, but I think we did a smart move.
Thank you, Brian. Yeah. Great information. Obviously, as always.
You shouldn't underestimate, by the way, the trust factor, because this is discussion that I have with Brian all the time, is, you know, to in order to go in a fast way, fast fashion, I completely agree with him. You don't want to miss the opportunity. That, you know, when we put something out there, normally you just drop it and that's it. And it will just be appearing on platforms. But, you know, in this case with the Babes community, we have some sort of a positive, you know, democratic filter, you know, that will just help you. It will never do anything bad to you, always positive things to you. And with this kind of filter and that speed requirement that you have in order to get things out, this is normally where this is the sweet spot for every big organization to provide, let's say, some sort of comfort to you, but at the same time they would take away 85% of whatever is going to be the proceeds. So in this case, this Babes filter will allow you to be quick, to be fast, helps you to put things out there, but at the same time does not go into a complete scalping situation for the rest of your life. You see, this is, I think, also one of the beautiful things. So it's, I'm not talking the world is always bad, but I'm just saying that this is an extra value, I think, that is very, very good for creators.
Absolutely. Thank you very much for that. So, you know, this is great insights. And I just have to say, there is nowhere where you can get 25 iconic world renowned people that can talk about one single thing all together. And that is what you get with Babes. You know, that is just iconic in itself. And too bad we don't have Calvin Stovall in here. So, Calvin, we're not taking your iconic.
Sounds like you are.
I'll take it for one day. That's one day. All right. Well, I want to move on to the next piece. This is a piece we had that came out, I think, a few weeks ago. But they listed the top 5 NFTs to drop. And you had Bunny Buddies up there. You had the Monkey Design Club. And then number 3 was Babes Clan. But they did not say anything great about 1 and 2. But this is what they had to say about number 3 in the Babes Clan. That it's not cheap, but provides the most value. And called it an investment fund and first of its kind. And you have to remember that this is that different sort of NFT. You know, this is what, if you were going to a venture capitalist trying to get money for your startup and you had to wait 6 to 8 weeks to get it, now you got Babes that will get it to you sooner. got more utility, more for it to be provided. And we're going to even get into the space article and later in the show, but this is what this is. That's why it's called Metavestor. That's why it's an investment fund. And I'm going to go to the main guy for this because he's going to even tell you a lot more than I just told you. So Brian, lay it on us. What do you
say? I'm the main guy. Oh yeah. We talked about this for over a month now. We created, again, something different for the NFT market. We hope to set a precedent as to future NFTs, have a great team, have real value. And I've been preaching that at some point, a graphic picture of a duck with four tails is not going to have real value. It's just it's not feasible. And there'll be a correction. But if this is a new market that can thrive, that can grow, and you see funds like what Andreessen Horowitz are talking with Bored Yacht Ape Club, like you're seeing real money and real professionals start to get into this, they're only going to stay if there's real value to be had and that a community can get behind these projects. Now, I hope it's sustainable forever, but there's no way that these numbers are going to be sustainable. But it is sustainable if projects like ours can produce value and utility and access and can give that value back to the NFT holders. To me, that's very safe. That's a smart move. It's not new. That's what dividend yielding public companies do. That's what bonds do. There has to be some sort of a value proposition. And like I said before, the de-risk factor is not just the capital, it's the amazing people, some on this show that are behind it to help those projects succeed. And having direct access to music, media, travel, Stephanie, not only with her job as crisis management, but also
whatever she does, yeah.
No, but she's got amazing access to people that you just don't have access to.
Yeah,
you do. So if you take all of that wealth of experience, and David Meltzer calls it like that, what is it, the dumb money, like even myself included, all the learning experiences that I've done, all the millions that I've wasted in trusting people and doing stupid moves and thinking that the world is puppy dogs and ice cream. It's not. And we experienced this a week before we dropped our NFT, where Polygon just didn't work. And if we didn't have seasoned professionals to sit back and say, what do we got to do? We have to launch. And quickly, you know, we took a lot of flack from the community thinking that we were not real, but look at what we did within 24 hours. We were up and running and dropping. That's not normal. That doesn't normally happen. And also what's not normal is that these 25 amazing people stuck with us. They didn't abandon us. They didn't say, screw this, I'm out of here, because that's business. That's what happens. That's life. Life is tough. Business is tough. But what's great is how you get through it and how you get stronger and how you start to really understand evolution of business, evolution of people. That was amazing. I was sitting back saying, as we were growing, I was more nervous that there wasn't anybody throwing any shade at us. I'm like, this is not normal. I was concerned it was going too good because I'm not used to that. But the minute that there was a problem, I'm like, this is great. This is where I thrive. Let's go. But that was great to get picked up by that article. Again, we didn't spend any money on marketing or advertising. Any mentions or publicity or accolades we got was completely organic. And, you know, we will get one NFT holder at a time. That's what I preach with all my businesses. And we will continue to do everything we can to create value. And, you know, thanks to these wonderful people, we'll make sure that we do everything that we can.
Yeah. And I think I called you on that, Brian, one day. I was like, man, this can't be real. That you don't have one person not saying anything bad.
No, they came out.
all of them together.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm used to having about 10 of those calls a week saying that, oh, it's not real. But, you know, I mean, this is what this community is. That's why it's phenomenal. Great support. Stephanie Malik?
So I think the value and the utility and the access are the things that we lead with. For me, I'm brand new. I haven't done, you know, the things that Brian's done in this industry. I'm not familiar with it. But after sitting down, here's the thing. Okay. I've been a part of 11 global startups. I've taken 6 companies public. This is the old school model. This is incubator. This is like in the room with like the whiteboards where all of us are staying up all night and freaking out going, how do we pitch this differently to an investor? When is a VC going to actually care? What do we do differently? And when I got my mind around that, when I was like, oh wait, no more pitch decks, no more having to go, hey, this is why my investment is different. You get real value and real utility. I could have those conversations all day long. And truthfully, I did. As soon as I started calling with that message, it was a 30-second text, or it was, you know, a 1-minute phone call, just thanking me over and over. Thank you, Stephanie. Thank you for bringing this to me. This is absolutely amazing. Once I started focusing on that, and once I started paying attention on the access that these people will have, that that's taken me 25 years to build in 30 different countries, and they can actually tap into a community where I mean, obviously Bapes is giving back hugely, but that they get to add value into this community and they get access to this community, and that this is actually the utility around this is incredible. I think that it goes back to literally old school IPOs. Like, this is like .com, .bomb, whatever you want to call it in Silicon Valley. This is what it is. And those are the strategic conversations that you had that made all of us grow so hugely when we were going out for IPO or giving away preferred stock or any of those things. And it's so exciting to be around these type of people having these conversations again.
Well, aren't you so glad, Stephanie, that we were able to do all those articles on Hospitality 360 about crypto?
No, still not glad. You're never going to get me to say glad.
Sarah?
Where did we go with this conversation? Because I'm like listening and everybody keeps saying stuff. And so I want to answer you directly.
Well, we were just talking about the top 5 NFTs that were launched, and number 3 was Bapes and the utility behind it. And, you know, what's so great about it?
Well, again, you know, I so much is always kind of like discussed on here, but it's just exciting to be part of something that is different and taking a bit of a different approach to it. Again, we've seen, you know, when something new comes around, you know, a lot of people hop on board and whether they're trying to like ride the wave, and sometimes whether it's the legitimacy of it or how they're going about it, it just is a little bit hollow. And again, what I really loved about this and what we've seen is the individuals that are on board, in that it's like we are wanting something deeper. We're wanting something that's more meaningful. We're looking for the longevity in it. So there is that value. And it's so great to see that other individuals are seeing this as well too. And again, to have this sort of like mastermind, this whole thing that you've got all of these different experts and experienced individuals in their respective fields all kind of coming together to watch this grow and help build it. It's exciting. So it's again, and it's so cool to see that, you know, others are also tapping into that, and, you know, we're able to get pieces like, you know, the piece that you mentioned. You know, we didn't ask them for that. They found us, and they're picking up what we're laying down. So that's exciting.
Thank you, Sarah.
Sure.
Larry?
Yeah, I you know, for me, like I say, this has been a great learning experience and stuff, because the kind of things I do around the world, a lot of times they are fairly new to me. And we're actually in China, we actually have one of the shows that we do is all about trying to bring Chinese outbound tourists to different places around the world. So we've been, before the pandemic, we were shooting all over Eastern Europe and Croatia and Bosnia and all those places there where we got shut down. But, particularly in the Asia part of the world, the interest in hospitality and luxury is just crazy off the roof. And the more, you know, more I can and my team can understand all the, you know, the new things coming into play in that world, you know, the more efficient we become in it.
Thank you, Larry. Stefan?
Yeah, so I think what I like the most, or what is most appealing to me, is the fact that there is a new degree of accountability and interactivity with the people involved. like, you know, we've been looking at, I'm not going to call any names, but, you know, some of my, you know, older colleagues in the finance industry, but also in the media industry, they've been looking now at some of the top NFT projects, the platforms, even the biggest platforms, some of the biggest platforms, and they literally said to me, trust me, they are hollow, you know, it's absolutely hollow. So why would you, if you've been trying to sell, let's say a U2 fan pack or stuff like that, you know, you would go to the core, to the diehard fans, and then you would sell like a package, some very VIP stuff, you know, like for a grand or 2 grand or 5 grand to the hardcore fans. And then somebody wants to make you believe that there is it's a quite normal thing to spend $1 million on a 3 second video sequence just because it's digital and you know, is there a secondary market? Obviously not at all, you know. So that's people buying their own stuff, four or five people, you know. You see all the wash trading, you see all the stuff happening, and then you have very little accountability because you have a number of people on some websites. Here's an ambassador, here's like this, and that's the expert, and that's the expert. But here it's all real. I mean, look at this, we're live now. So you have Twitter, you have, you know, Discord, you're in this group, we all get scammed. Some people are inside Discord trying to scalp us. You know, we survive this, we go through this, we, you know what I mean? It's like we don't run away, we are interactive. And I think this is priceless, you know, far beyond any kind of character and stuff like that. I can give you a whole hour of speech as a merchandising and licensing person I am. I mean, I've been looking at this market for over 35 years. So, you know, for me, that's not the point. The point is really the business model and the models and the validity. And then when everybody is just calling out, you know, when you always have to get suspicious, NFTs. If there is a certain terminology already like becoming a cult, we always said don't believe the hype, you know, like in this old Public Enemy song. But in this case, it's really true. I mean, it is quite clear that the real market phase is just about to come. This we have not seen anything yet. This is all the very beginning. And I think to have individuals, very valuable people, and a super meaningful community being interactive about it is, this is the this is the number one value in this whole system. And this is probably going to be, you know, very, very successful for a long time, because most people, they are in it for the quick buck, pump and dump and stuff like that. And then, oops, hey, great, I got $10 for this token. I sold it, converted into Ethereum or Bitcoin, whatever, and off I'm gone, you know? But this is not us.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Thank you, Stefan. Great insights, by the way. So, you know, I think personally for myself, this has got tremendous utility. I always say this, legal disclaimer, but it's a $1 billion team with a $1 billion utility. And that's what I mean by it. It is a $1 billion team, and it's got a $1 billion utility, private aviation, music, travel, space, you name it. It's got it all. So that takes me to the next segment where we talk about space. This is way better than Blue Origin. Trust me. You know, trust me. You know, I will tell you that. So this is...
Is StreamYard hosted on AWS? Because we're going to get shut down.
Well, I don't know, but we're going to find out in a few minutes. So, but this is the Space Meta Fund, okay? Sending the NFTs into space, empowering commercial space entrepreneurs and startups, just like as we spoke about before, the Metavestor, and obviously this is how you can actually look at it as an investment fund. The Bapes went viral. A global NFT project has just taken the world by its storm. And I mean, with this, unfortunately, we don't have Mr. Richards. He is that expert to take us into this subject. I'm sure he might be joining us on Thursday. But just in the meantime, I'm going to actually start with Brian first again on this one. And Brian, you might want to give us a little bit more detail on, especially for the startups that are in that space community, sure, and how this investment fund would play into it.
Yeah, so I've been dealing in that industry for probably over 5 years. So, and originally with Dr. Marco Grifa, who's also a BAPES ambassador, he's part of the NASA and NASA NEMOS team where they train astronauts underwater, aquanauts, to be able to be prepared for going into space. So I've known that industry for a long time. And the beauty of my world and a lot of connectors is that I met Mr. Richards through Stefan on this call, and we quickly became, like, I don't know, kindred spirits, fast friends. And I knew what he wanted to do because I've been trying to do it for a long time as well. So again, speed and credibility. You know, we couldn't put that deal together if Mr. Richards wasn't a BAPES ambassador. We couldn't have done a space BAPES that quickly without his credibility in the industry. We could have done it the longer route and done it with government agencies like NASA, but that would take time. That would be a much longer process. And Bob already worked out all those agreements. And one of the other things that's exciting to do, which I've been doing with Kopernik Space as well, is open up that industry to the regular person. Everybody sits behind their TV since the 60s and watches these giant rockets go up into space, but it's been government agencies. Or now it's the private sector with Musk and Bezos and Branson. That's great. But the regular person wants more. They would love to have access to that. That's like, well, that's why people buy tickets to go see Taylor Swift in concert, because they want to have that experience and they want to be part of it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, part of the reason why we did this is opening up space to the average person through BAPES to be able to have the ability to mint an NFT from the International Space Station through us. That's not just a cool story, but it gives people an opportunity to connect with something they, you know, maybe dreamt about as a kid forever, but never thought that they can actually have a piece of it. And the same thing that we've done with music. You know, this is how you monetize, create value, create interesting IP that I think has sustainable growth. And we're not making a million of those either. That's the other thing you have to think about. There's going to be, 2,000, I think, of those Genesis 2s that go out. I go back and think about.
I think it was like 7.
Well, it's 5,000 total, but it's going to be 2,000. Well, you can go through the article to get all the details. But point being, if you look at, I don't know, Amazon stock, I think they have 500 million shares outstanding, and it's a $3,000 stock. And if you look at the idea of IP and a vehicle that has value and that has a demand, and to have 2,000 of them out there or 5,000 of them out there, that's not a lot. That's not a lot at all. And that's one of the exciting things that I love about what we're doing. We're creating a real value add to people that hold these things that will have great experiences that Sarah, of course, will create around the world, or have access that Larry and Stefan can create with the media or music or these, you know, incredible celebrities. Yeah, that's what this community wants. They want the NFT. People want that all access pass and access, but that's also kind of for the elite people as well. You need to have money to have all that access. I didn't want to do that here. That's why we have this partnership with Virtual Stacks too, where we have this giant community. I don't want to just alienate the other 99% of the people that can't be involved. We're going to put pieces to make sure everybody can be involved and everybody can grow with us and be part of this with us. So if you love space, here's an opportunity for space. If you love music, Stefan and I, and obviously Larry with his history, we'll create some badass music opportunities, and then there'll be consumer goods, and there'll be, we did a partnership with Frigid, so there's a whole food play here. So it's just going to continue to morph into creating value, creating opportunity, and ideally, you know, it's kind of like that what's in your wallet. We want everybody to have a BAPE something to be able to be part of what we're trying to create here and have value no matter what they're doing throughout their day or what they want to do.
I agree. I'm all for space. I know what will be the first hotel brand there. EV Hotel.
It's got to be.
You say it's complicated?
No, I said it's got to be.
Oh, okay. I was like, wait a minute. There's no complication there. You know, we just put it on Musk's plane and then we'll take it right to space. You know? But Mr. Namer.
What's the question?
The question is, we love, it's not even a question, it's a statement. We love that you're wearing red and we want to take that to space.
Sure. You know, as Brian kind of said, I've been fascinated with space since watching rocket launches in the 60s and, you know, couldn't ever imagine that I would have any, you know, connection to that world and stuff. So, you know, for me, this was a fabulous opportunity. I did something a few years ago. I'm on the board of a thing called the Einstein Foundation, and we actually published a book on the space station about 4 years ago. It was the first time it was actually publishing, which was just fascinating. We did 100 copies and they're collector's items and stuff like that. So, you know, just getting, you know, next to that world and more deeply involved is always, you know, it just amazes me. And I feel so good to, you know, that I'm doing something that I never would have dreamed of as a kid. So.
Thank you, Mr. Namer. Thank you. Stefan?
Yeah, I think it's another great example for the utility that we're talking about. So it's access, it's speed, it's making things possible that are not possible normally. And, you know, if you just then later on take the, just, you know, understand that afterwards you have a vested interest into even, you know, like the projects that we are going to all together, like, you know, select and do whatever, get involved with. I think this is amazing. And with regards to space, obviously, because, you know, Bob and I, we've been like, again, with Brian's help, we've been jumping into this pool here. But, you know, I have been always fascinated when I first met Bob, would be really fascinated about this, about, you know, the proximity of the opportunity and the, you know, like getting all of a sudden the hands on something like Cape Canaveral and all these kind of things that you normally just never get access to. So yeah, it's like a child in a candy store. So you're like, ah, great, you know, you can do these, you can do the things. But I think on a more sustainable note for the future, there is so much opportunity there, business opportunity. And that's incorporating all the verticals we've been just talking about. And I think, you know, if we have the opportunity to participate or to dip into this, this is going to be huge. So for all the good reasons, again, another perfect example for utility inside Babes.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Thank you. Stephanie?
I think that, again, it goes back to access and it goes back to what we all are going to have access to. It goes back to access. It goes back to community. We all have these amazing, amazing relationships. How do we use them? How do we take care of them? How do we add value to them? What's next for them? Like, one of the things I always get asked is what's next? And I think this just provides an unbelievable amount of momentum and leverage to your network where you can actually be continuously giving back.
Thank you, Stephanie. Sarah?
Yeah, I mean, what's not to get excited about when it comes to space, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And but like, if you want to just break it down and just look at it, like just from like a societal perspective, and it's like, and even understanding like when we as humans went to space and who has had access and who has gone recently, like this is a really exciting conversation and a project to be a part of, because so many people have been fascinated with space and the notion of that it to be part of it in some sort of way, big or small, it just adds this, you know, as it's been mentioned multiple times, this access, it's this tangible element to it. So, it's exciting and it's kind of like about time already, about time. Right. Let's be having this conversation where a lot more people will have access to things that they didn't necessarily or traditionally have.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, I would love to go to space. And, you know, when William Shatner went on the Blue Origin, I was like, where do you buy that on Priceline? You know, and, you know, I'm like,
okay,
I couldn't find it on Priceline. Okay. So, you know, but I'll take this. This is much better than Blue Origin, Priceline, any of that. William Shatner, I think this, just the utility. What's that?
So why are you picking on William Shatner?
Because I took that line from the other show, you know, the Priceline, the Blue Origin.
Okay.
I mixed it up a little bit here on this show. But, you know, I think the whole conversation about the space and what we're doing here, it was a shock to me. But, you know, I then called Brian and said, like, this is just amazing. Amazing in its own that we're able to do something of this sort. And, you know, obviously, thanks to Brian and the team with Babes for putting this even together. I mean, just amazing stuff. And I know this is not the end of it. So I kind of want to go into more of what Brian was speaking about earlier. And I think someone else said it, whether it was Stefan or Larry, is about the marketing of Babes and how this was organically built. But not only was it organically built, this was the fastest organically growing NFT project to be ever launched. And the kicker here is that it was done without a single dollar, even a single penny. Let's just put it that way. Mm-hmm. You know, the market was desperate for true utility, amazing artwork and support. And also across from legendary business ambassadors like the ones we have on this panel and the ones we're going to have on Thursday's panel. You know, the best designers, the best animators, you know, and the other aspect of this, and we're going to post all these articles up on the newsletter for Hospitality 360, but the Babes 143 project. So I'm going to go into that 143 project in a minute, but I'm going to go to Sarah first and ask her, do you know what Babes 143 is and what that means on a beeper? And if you guys don't know what a beeper is, for you youngsters out there, that is the little thing we had when we were in high school and we went to a payphone and dial some numbers to send a secret message to someone's beeper.
I didn't have a pager. That was not part of my era.
To let everyone knows, so the Babes 143 project means I love you. And that's what, on the beeper tagline, that's what it meant. I love you. So it was about giving away to people. It was giving away the project to the ones that you care about. So I don't know, Sarah, if you had given anybody the 143 project, but if not, it's all good. The next show, we're going to go into what the beeper analogies are here and figuring out what 143 is, what 561.
Oh, my gosh. I only know area codes.
Come on. So, Larry, are you a fan of the 143 and any insights you can give our audience about the marketing and such phenomenal work that Babes has done without spending a single dollar? And I know in your industry and in television and with E! Entertainment Television, you spend millions of dollars on marketing.
Oh, God. I wish it was only millions, but it goes well beyond that. But, you know, in looking back, we did pretty good with managing our money and maximizing that. You know, one of the things that, you know, when you talk about E! That people don't realize, E! Wasn't started as a big company. E! Was me and my friend from New Jersey woke up in the morning and decided we were going to start a TV network, and we didn't know any better. So, I mean, then the going rate to start a TV network was around 60 to 100 million. We only managed to raise 2.5 and just decided we were going to go for it anyway. But what we really did there, and it was really one of the early attempts at doing community, we hired hosts that we knew we could build community around, like Greg Kinnear and Katie Wagner and stuff like that. So it was having them and their ability to get messages out to wide audiences without spending a lot of money was what really propelled us. And, you know, then, you know, I got that guy named Howard Stern, and we would just have
And Howard
goes, you know, say, hey, today I'm going to do this amazing thing, blah, blah, blah. If you don't have E, call your cable operator. Well, he was able to, you know, mobilize an army of millions of followers.
Oh my God.
You know, to the point where the cable operators called me and begged me to please stop him, saying, you know, we can't take calls for new installations or service because our our phones are jammed up with people like complaining that they can't get the Howard Stern show. So sometimes, you know, being in a position of not having a lot of money or not having, you know, a lot of marketing money makes you get very, very innovative with how you use the little that you have. So, and I think Babes is a great example of that.
Thank you, Larry. Stefan?
Yeah, I mean, I've been working also pretty much all my life with this, you know, in this engagement environment, obviously. And we've done a project with Simon Fuller, which is called Now United, which was the first, you know, interactive pop band in the world that was well selected and, you know, organically grown across all social media platforms. So, you know, I know it's super tough to do, but it's, you know, it is the most efficient thing, obviously, if you really have this organic growth. And it also shows you that there is a very meaningful relationship between the audience and, you know, and us as being effectively the platform. And that can only work if you have a relationship aspect. Business relationships are normally pretty much the same as private relationships. So if you have those components together, that's, I think, what we all achieved, you know, where you have this reciprocity and, you know, the pleasure and fun aspect and the, you know, the added value for both sides. And, you know, like this is something that if you have a match there, and I think this has been tremendous in this industry. I cannot even recall one B2B project that had this much traction and that has taken this to this level. And I think this is just so amazing that we, you know, that the timing was perfect, the value, the utility, the people involved, you know, this entire moment was magic. And I think that this is just the beginning, as I said before, because if, you know, we keep on building this relationship across, I completely agree with Brian, even difficult times are better than the easy times. Because in the easy times, people get like all hyped up and excited and blah, blah, blah. And then all of a sudden, you know, everybody makes a lot of money. And then afterwards, it's quite like if there's the first problem, the whole thing breaks together.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But if you fight for it and if you organically grow and if you are loyal to each other and you can, you know, you can make it happen together with the community, I think this is super sustainable. And I've seen large communities like in Vivendi, you know, Call of Duty, World of Warcraft, where you ask yourself, like, how is this possible that 40 million people at the same time do something together? And I think in our context here, it's just top, truly, truly amazing. And I really think this is the probably not the best way. It's the only way to go these days.
Absolutely. It's phenomenal. And I mean, there's a lot behind this. I think, you know, the marketing, I'm a big believer in marketing and how to market your product. And I mean, truly how to market your product and do it yourself. And this is that do it yourself. You know, this is not hiring a company to do it. This is not putting somebody else to do it. So it's own voice, right? This is its own voice. This is the feelings that you get. And I'm a believer of that. And I think Bapes has it, and the people behind Bapes just did a phenomenal job with it, right? And this is what it means about having a true product, having a true community, And this is a true just utility behind it. So, Brian?
Yeah, so 327-2004 was my beeper number back in 1998. Didn't even have an area code. So, yeah, that was a great, great campaign. We ran it for people to, you know, obviously earning a whitelist in the NFT space is like getting that Willy Wonka ticket if it was, if it's a project that you want to be involved in. And it was a way to have people go out there and help somebody, you know, go, you know, donate your time to a local charity, donate food. If you have the funds, donate money. And we built that content machine of people doing good. And it just piggybacked the great movement that we saw happening regardless. People are filming themselves, taking over cities, putting up BAPES posters on bus benches. They were chanting BAPES Clan at stadiums. I say often it was definitely something in my career I've never experienced. And I'm pretty realistic in saying I don't think I'll ever experience anything like we saw during the month of February, late January into February. It was just absolutely humbling and amazing. And now's where, you know, that high was a great way to prime the pump of what we set out to do. You know, we expedited what we wanted to do in a short amount of time. We weren't even ready to handle that amount of people. We didn't have the right support system in our Discord. We didn't have any of the moderators really set up to really handle that type of inbound, which is great. That's a great problem to have. You know, the flip side is we have all these people and there's to work it, but nobody's coming to us. So there's always a problem. Just got to figure out how to manage it. And that 143 meaning is I love you because the first word has one letter, the second word has four letters, and the third word has three letters. That was the quick way of telling somebody you love you on a beeper message.
Beeper talk.
So yeah, it's just absolutely phenomenal. And the fun part about, you know, the amount of money that's being generated for the Meta Fund, I always, because I feel like I keep saying, you know, having direct access to people like these BAPES ambassadors, we don't need a lot of money to make a big impact because we have that direct connection. A lot of people don't understand that in this community because they haven't been entrepreneurs. They don't understand the value proposition behind. There's not a slew of brokers in the middle of trying to do deals. There's not all these people trying to eat at your pockets and any profitability. It's direct here, direct there, direct there. And we can make a big impact with a little bit of money. And hopefully the goal of that is that the earnings behind that margin is going to be supported and rewarded back to our community. So, you know, people are making fun of us that we didn't sell out. So what? I was concerned if we sold out so quickly and we couldn't support the value, the price would have dropped. So we've been fighting that problem too. I want to sell one at a time to our community. I want to support the community, and every dollar that comes in is properly allocated to create value and utility. That's been my story since day one. So it's going to be one of those things that watch what we do. We'll continue to add value, continue to create great opportunities, and that's what business is. And then we'll get slapped in the face, and something will go wrong, and we'll fix it, and we'll be better next time. There's no perfect situation. It just doesn't happen. I mean, Larry, you might have the best show in the world, and if it's live and somebody throws the F-bomb, you got a big fine coming your way from the FCC, and there's always a problem. You know, Sarah, you might plan a huge, amazing travel expedition somewhere, and weather interrupts it, or there's something can disrupt it. There's always a problem, but there's also always a solution. So that's the fun part about business and being involved in it.
Yeah, and I think we speak about this all the time, Brian, is that business is not proven to be 100% success rate. And what I mean by that, it's proven to the fact that you succeed, you're going to have some downfalls, and then you get right back up and you succeed even more. And, you know, it's not going to be where everything's going to go smoothly. I mean, nothing in life goes smoothly. I mean, it just doesn't happen. So, but how do we recover from it? Or even how do we do it better? And how do we strategically align it? And I think that's what has been done with BAPES. You know, for me, I've never seen anything with BAPES that concerned me. Absolutely zero. And I think I would have probably called Brian up right away if it did. But you know, it's just not concerning to me. I mean, there's nothing. It shows me more utility, more value, and just provided assets, you know, an investment fund. I deal with, I mean, and Brian knows this, I deal with plenty of capital companies on a daily basis. You know, I'd rather see on an investment fund of this sort that's got tremendous value, right? Like if I knew that this is how we can do it, and now moving forward, this is what we need to do to whether we raise 200 million, 400, 600 million. And this is the way to get it done. I mean, in prime example for people that don't know, just go out and look at what Flying Fish did in 6 minutes. Okay. If you want to see what an NFT can do for an investment fund, go check that out. Look at what Bapes did when it launched and when it mint and what's going to happen Thursday at noon. So just figure that out and you'll see exactly what I mean. So I just want to take it to our last piece. And this is about Bapes Travel. You know, Star Jets and Bapes will enhance the experience and value for being an NFT holder. Exclusive access to their jets in VR as well in real life. Special pricing for elite NFT holders. And, you know, I've spoken with Ricky. I know Brian connected me with Ricky. You know, he's got great product, great jets. I think it's somewhere between 15,000 jets, I believe it is. This is a tremendous value. I mean, this is a tremendous value. I mean, you would have to pay to be a member just to get special pricing for a club out there. You know what I mean? For a club out there. I've been on one of these jets and I know what it costs. And I don't own it. Trust me, I don't own it. But, you know, I was just an invited guest and I know what it takes to operate those things. And what it, but just to get this as an NFT holder, the value of it, I mean, this, you can't lose. You simply can't lose. So I'm going to go to Sarah. This is your space, travel, hospitality. What type of value do you think this even brings or even caters to?
Well, I think, again, it comes back down to accessibility. I mean, even just mentioning it right now and how you're breaking down as far as like the private aviation space. Certainly, that's one aspect of the travel space. And maybe it's not something that necessarily is realistic for everyone, but it is exciting that you do have that on one side or one spectrum of the industry. And so kind of following suit with that, we can see that as far as that trickle down effect, so to speak, for the rest of the travel industry. And again, it's this accessibility to maybe things that you might not normally have or traditionally have had access to, or it's the notion of, you know, something's value, the value goes further, the cost of something goes further. And this idea of it's there's a real life element to it, and then also that virtual, that VR aspect of it as well too, depending on really whether what you're kind of looking for. And that's really what's so exciting in this space, is that you know, even like travel and hospitality in the traditional form, obviously it's very much in person. I mean, I feel like I live on a plane these days, but it's like, but then you also have this other side of things where you can experience it kind of from the comfort of your own home too. So, you know, it's still certainly feeling it out, but it's definitely an exciting time in the world of that. And so we're seeing this in all of these different verticals.
Yeah. Thank you, Sarah. That was great. Brian.
The point was to add value. So I know the private aviation space for a long time, very asset, cost heavy asset, as far as maintenance for the plane owners, storage, certification, staffing it, pilots, everything. It's a very expensive asset. And they're usually owned by some very amazing celebrities, athletes, business people, influencers. So they're pretty, they're owned by an elite group of people that, you know, again, imagine having access to these people. So as we did the deal with Ricky, and the idea of Star Jets, which is a public company, JETR, he was an originator in private aviation back in the late 90s. He's done exceptionally well. And if we can utilize Star Jets as the conduit with Bapes to bring this IP digitally into the metaverse, well, that's an interesting story for the plane owner because it's another way to monetize that plane. Help that owner offset some of his costs while he has that burden of maintaining it and keeping it, you know, in his owner, his or her ownership. But now it gets funner for the NFT holder where the idea is now experience that plane digitally in the metaverse, but maybe sit down in that plane in the metaverse with the owner of that plane. And there's the access, there's the utility. You know, maybe it's a Derek Jeter, maybe it's a Taylor Swift, maybe it's a LeBron James, who knows? But bringing that IP properly into the metaverse and monetizing a property, that's a business. That's how you create value. That's how you make the metaverse, I feel, work. But you have to loop it back into real life. I always say you gotta pour a drink once in a while in real life. You gotta eat real food, you gotta buy real clothes. Metaverse is cool and engaging, but you need these brands and these companies have to find a way to make money with it. So now if that Bapes NFT holder can also now go back in real life because maybe the value of their NFT is creating some exceptional perks or rewards where they can experience that private jet in real life and maybe sit next to that private jet owner in real life, well, that's a pretty badass business model that we created. And it's win-win-win-win for everybody. It's win for the plane owner. It's win for Ricky. It's a win for Bapes. It's a win for the metaverse. And ideally, it's a win for the NFT holder because of the value and the utility that it creates. So that play is rinse and repeat. Ken, that's the same thing that we would want to do with EV Hotel. Same exact model. Or the Absolutely. One Hotel with Raul Leal, who's also a dear friend and Bapes ambassador. And maybe it's a car dealership we want to do that with next. Or a brand. There you go. We want to do it with Porsche. But we have to prove it. That's the beautiful thing about having direct access to friendlies and doing this whole model that we're doing together is proving these business models, creating value, and doing it with little to no cost to ensure that we do it correctly, that when we do roll it out with other brands that want to work with us, we have the loop. We have the real value proposition that works.
Yeah, absolutely, Brian. And, you know, I've told you that, you know, this is something that I'm very interested with, obviously, especially with the news of us creating EV Hotels NFT membership program, being the world's first hotel brand to create that rewards program, right? So this has a lot to do with how Bapes and EV Hotel come together as well, but stay tuned. We are not making that announcement today. So, Stefan?
Yeah, no, I completely agree with Brian. I couldn't have said it better. The IP piece of it is my turf. I can just completely support it. Anything that's incremental. I think we all know that when you know you start the paradox here is the bigger the stuff is, the less, you know, I mean, the more it's already normal, right? But now we have this opportunity to show incremental value when it's still very small. Mm-hmm. So the you know, in terms of how the significance of what we are building, it will exponentially grow. So being alone on a growth path in this difficult times, you know, where the world is really like struggling in so many different ways, this is already very inspiring because you already see something happening that adds value to some, you know, like to more a traditional asset or more traditional industry. So I think this is super cool and very, very powerful. So from there, you can obviously take it only to the next level if you have this real life anchoring somehow.
Yeah.
And the other way around. So this is where, again, I agree with Brian, and I think this is also so beautiful about this whole blockchain space, because literally we have a connection. There is a connection of the value and the information and the contracts, so it will really be meaningful in somebody's pocket. It will be meaningful in somebody's life. So I think perfect, very, very cool use case. And again, if you can show these use cases by giving, like, you know, examples that are not accessible for people, it's even more mind blowing. So this is why I think it's adding to the engagement piece. Yeah. Because nobody has ever experienced this. So, so it's great.
Phenomenal. Thank you for that. Appreciate it. Mr. Namer.
Yeah, you know, I think you go back to that saying, you know, membership has its privileges. I think the more add-on value that we could, you know, bring into the community, the stronger the entire community gets stronger, and the more the likelihood of it having longevity and staying together and stuff like that. I love the, you know, credit cards that give me, you know, certain kinds of access to tickets and stuff like that. And I think, you know, Bapes is following, you know, a model that's proven to be true, you know, in many ways. You know, build up the benefits of being a member and you'll get more members and keep them.
Absolutely. You're so right about that. It's all about providing, right? It's not about taking. It's about providing. And this is what that is. And that is the end for this one.
Nice job. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you, everyone. We'll see you next time. Thank you to all our supporters. Thank you to Surf Request and CCC for obviously being here with us on every show. And thank you to the Babes Clan. You guys were great. We're going to see you guys for part two on Thursday. 12 noon is what time? You guys know what time it is.
Yeah. So, thank you very much, Ken.
Thank you. Thank you guys for being here. And obviously, thank you, Sarah. Thank you, Larry, Stefan, and then Mommy and Brian.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Stay well.
All right. Take care.
Bye, guys.
Bye-bye.